I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, we will hear from a Diné Navajo Native American band that rocks out. Blackfire will join us to talk about fighting oppression through music. But first, it might sound a bit like a skit from the old Fox variety show In Living Color, but Sunda Kroonquist's life is nothing short of real.
Black people want you to mind your business. You ever know that? That's the truth. Mind your business. That's not your business. You keep your business. That's your business. Mind your business. You minding my business? You better not be minding my business. Don't mind my business, right? Jewish people tell all their business, all right? All their business. Your business, everything. You can't, and they can't hear. It's unbelievable. It's really hard hanging out with your Jewish friends, you know? You can't whisper like in L.A. You can't be like, oh, man, check it out. There's Halle Berry. Hairy belly? Who has a hairy belly? What did she say? Who has a hairy belly?
Her mother is African-American, and her father is Swedish. She says in New York, people thought she looked Puerto Rican, and she converted to Judaism long before she even met her Jewish husband. The mix of religions, races, and perceptions gives Sunda rich fodder for her comedy act, which insults nearly everyone. And I mean everyone. So, on this Thanksgiving Day, instead of serving the usual turkey and pie, or tofu, we're serving up a plate of humor. It's healthier. And Sunda joins us now from our studios in Culver City, California. Welcome.
Well, glad to be here. Glad to be here and just can't wait to eat that turkey.
Or
if one's not thrown at me.
Speaking of things being thrown at you, wait, I've got to say happy Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Get your sweet potato pies on the table.
Ah, they're straight.
Sweet potato pies and matzo balls. That's what we're going to have in my house.
That sounds fabulous. But I've got to ask you, in your act, I mean, you pretty much mock everyone from the workers at Asian nail shops to African-American women and their hair weaves to clueless white Beverly Hills women who are intrigued by your looks. The first time you walked out on stage, didn't that give you a little pause?
Well, you know, the first time I walked out on stage, I wasn't doing this act. I was dating my husband at the time, so I was doing that dating routine and,
oh, the,
you know,
the clean
the
and safe routine.
Oh, girl, please. I was out there with a miniskirt doing a Tina Turner impression. I don't know. I had lost my mind. And so I think it's everyone's fair game, and it's comedy. You know, it's nothing to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. It's just comedy. And people have to lighten up a little bit. That's all.
I mean, okay, I can see you on stage in some places in Brooklyn, and people would be coming across the table at you. I mean, do you ever get that
whip your head moment
where people are like, what did she say?
They're like, well, it's okay, though. You can do that. You have to know your audience. For example, someone said to me, I don't like your new routine. You know, I do a routine about a black nail salon.
Mm-hmm.
I said that, you know, after going to the Asian nail salons and being talked about in their language, I refuse to go back, and I'm going to black nail salons. And now, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I am going right back to the Asian nail salons.
Because?
They talked about me in English.
You talk a lot about being a mom, and we're going to hear a little of that.
It's really awful when you have kids sometimes. I had 2 kids within 2 years, and there's a term for that. Suicidal.
I don't have kids, but I have friends that do, so I was thinking, wow, that is hilarious. But your daughters are 8 and 9 now, right?
Oh, my God, yes. The baby turned 8, and the other one's 9, and I can't believe I did that.
How do they feel about this being your job?
They love it. As a matter of fact, this morning, Aviva and Tova, said to me, you know, Mama, when you die, and I don't want you to die, she said, when you die, I will keep doing your comedy act. I said, thank you. And my other daughter said, and I will bury you in Disneyland. So it's really difficult dealing with the kids. They're pretty funny themselves, I have to tell you that.
I wonder whether you are trying to teach them anything about with your jokes. I mean, I've read that you've said that you wanted them to be comfortable with all races and ethnicities. You know, and we've already talked about how that is a lot of your act. Are you hoping that they learn something from you?
Here. Oh, they know a lot. They go back to Paterson, New Jersey, dodging bullets, visiting relatives, and they know that the world is not the Beverly Hills bubble that they go to school in. So I insist upon the diversity. They go to Debbie Allen Dance Academy. Mm-hmm. They go to gymnastics where there's all Russians. They know diversity. I insist they know diversity.
I grew up on Chicago's South Side. So there were, shall we say, ethnic things that were said back and forth between people then. Your kids are everything. What do you teach them to say when people say something racial to them?
Oh, my God. They don't know it yet.
They haven't run into that at all.
Not yet. You know what? I was at my cousin's birthday party in Paterson, and they were using the word. And I was like, come on, y'all, like, chill for a minute. You know what I mean? I was like, my kids don't know. They're going to hear it. They're going to hear it because someone's going to say, It's just going to happen. That's it. You know it and I know. You're from Chicago. I'm from Patterson. You know they're going
to
hear it.
Right. So did you have to prep them in any special way?
I don't prep them. They're just very proud to be African-American. And I tell them they don't have to just side with one thing. You're also Jewish. You go to a Jewish day school. But they know what they are. They don't have issues. There will be no imitation of life here.
Before comedy, you had a life. And it involved being a private detective. How on earth did you get from there to here?
Well, my degree is in criminal justice. I have a degree from Seton Hall University, and I worked doing probation and parole review. That was part of the baccalaureate program then. And so then I met Vinnie Parco of Parco PI. I got a TV show. Everybody's Hollywood. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I was on these cases with him. And so we did covert and overt surveillance.
So how'd you get from the sleuthing to the giggling?
You know, it's the craziest thing. I was at a party, and I met Jackie Mason. And I don't know, I was cracking jokes in his ear about people who were just coming up to him saying most random things that weren't true. Oh, I loved you in this, I loved you in that. I said, Jackie, this guy hates you, you could tell. And he's laughing. To make a long story short, you know, we go out to lunch, we talk about, he talks to me seriously about it. And my husband, I was still dating him at the time, he says, hun, if Jackie Mason tells you you're funny, maybe you're funny. I took a workshop in New York, the stand-up comedy experience, went on stage 3 weeks later, first gig, paid.
That's like a miracle.
Yeah, and stand-up comedy, better believe it.
Alrighty. Sunda Kroonquist is a comedian. She is a co-host of James and Sunda, a comedy program on Jewish Life Television, and she joined us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Thanks so much, and happy Thanksgiving.
And you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.